are so grateful and so blessed to have such musical talent in our church. Amen? Daddy, we appreciate you as always for stepping in for Brian when he's not here. I know he's kind of fighting with some allergies, but he did great. Amen? And we appreciate that. Randy and Arlene, I tell you what. When I told Arlene, now she heard me, and I said, that song, you know, I thought I used a guitar term. I said, that kind of works, doesn't it? That song, y'all, if you play guitar, you know what I mean? It's got kind of that Jerry Lee Jones, I don't know what it was. But it sounded good. I liked the song. And then Stephanie, thank you. She told me she was going back to the old school. And she was right. Sandy Patty, right? And that is Amy Grant. Okay, right. They're both older, so. I probably shouldn't have said it that way. Those are older songs. Bad way to say that. Sorry. We're in trouble. But as she was singing that, I thought, you know, it goes so much along with what I'm going to talk about this morning. The title of the message started off just to be Miracle Grow. And, you know, if we're going to talk a little bit about it. It's a product that I can remember my dad used all the time. If you were around my dad very long, you would figure out, before very long, he would squeeze into conversation that he loved gardening. He might even not just squeeze it. It might just be blatantly. He'd just start talking about tomatoes or peppers or whatever. And I know we were working around this weekend, and I had reason to go into his shop, and I started to bring it, but I thought, I'm going to lug this thing over. But he had this huge bag of Miracle-Gro. Is it still in the shop? I know you can also go and get it in bottles. And I got thinking about that earlier, and then, like I said, I saw it this weekend, and I thought, I don't want to carry it. But I got about Miracle-Gro. Miracle-Gro, you know, is that product, if you use it, tomatoes get beautiful, flowers, beautiful, whatever you put on. But they got to have light, don't they? And so that's why, as Stephanie was singing that song, I thought, a little bit of some Miracle-Gro, some light unto our path. That's a good recipe for growth right there, isn't it? For spiritual growth. That's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about how to enjoy a lifetime of spiritual growth. My question is, I guess, is there such a thing as spiritual Miracle-Gro? Do we have anything? Do we have something that we can look at its ingredients and say, okay, this is what causes us to grow? And I want to submit to you that there is a Miracle-Gro for spiritual growth. Now, some of you are running off already, and you're going, wait a minute, we don't even talk about there's no deal, there's no one certain tape, no one certain book, no one certain seminar, and you're absolutely right. But what's Miracle-Gro? Well, if you look at the ingredients of it, it simply is all of the components, everything put together, nutrition, all the minerals, everything that makes something grow, makes the vegetation grow, right? That's all Miracle-Gro is. It's not a miracle, truly, just the name of it. Well, we have that same thing for us. We find it in God's Word, but we have a Miracle-Gro. We have packaged ingredients for how you and I can grow spiritually. Now, the verse that I gave, that I shared with you this morning, is Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. You can just hear the gardening illustration, can't you? I mean, you can hear the agricultural reference to it. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. I read that passage and it just screams agriculture. How about y'all? I want to share with you this morning a very simple recipe for Miracle-Gro spiritually. Now, like I said, no run off. I'm not talking about it's not one pill, it's not one seminar, it's not one tape. Stick with me. I think by the time you get done, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I see that. Before I dive into those ingredients, though, I want to give you a couple things here. One, some of the idea of where Paul was coming. Paul wrote the book of Colossians. I'll say it right in a moment. Most people believe he wrote it during his first imprisonment in Rome. We've been looking at the book of Romans, and Paul finally made it to Rome. But he wound up in prison. And while he's in that prison cell, that prison environment, because at some point they let him go to kind of a house arrest kind of thing, but while he's in prison in Rome, he writes some of the most powerful things he has for our lives today. And he writes to this church at Colossae. They were having some problems. He knew them. He had a part in front of this church, and he knew them intimately. And they had problems. They kind of had some problems with false teaching. They kind of had a problem with ceremonialism. They kind of had a problem with what we would recognize today as an early form of Gnosticism. In other words, where you know, there's a group that's got the secret. And, you know, we're kind of a select few, and so, you know, if you got to get tapped into the right person, then you might get the knowledge that God wants you to have. That's Gnosticism. The church was dealing with that, and so he writes this letter. It's not very long, is it? What? Four chapters? Three chapters? Something like that? Not very long. I think four pages long. But boy, he says a lot in those few pages. And he gives us this ingredients that I want to talk to you about. But before we get down, just make sure my train of thought, and that is, throughout the years, actually, I was thinking about it, this came January 2017, will mark my 30th year in ministry. We started in 1987 at this church as youth minister. So 30 years, seen a lot of different types of growth, not only in my own life, but in the life of those that, either in my youth groups that was youth ministry in or the churches that I've pastored. I've seen a lot of different types of growth, and I really kind of narrowed it down to three, and those are the three spaces that you begin with there on your sheet. I've seen over this period of time a lot of people who had what I call a one-time experience of growth. A one-time experience. What does that mean? It means that they have a feeling that something happened maybe way back when. Maybe they went to camp, and God was able to speak to them for that brief moment. And they made a decision, they invited Christ in their life, but there's never anything more, there's never more growth. Maybe it was an event at a church, be it a revival service, be it VBS, whatever the case may be. I've seen a lot of people, there are a lot of people that we run across that have had one-time growth experiences. Now let me ask you, do you don't think that's what God wants us to have? No. That would be like going and planting this seed and giving it some water, some fertilizer, and just walking off and leaving it, huh? Now, there needs to be a sustained growth. And so, there is a second type that I've seen, and that is what I call the time-to-time experiencing of growth. The time-to-time experiences of growth. It's not just once in a lifetime. It wasn't just camp or just EBS or just a revival service. Maybe that's where it started. But then just occasionally, God's able, we get ourselves in a situation or a position where God's able to speak to us and we find that we grow. I call it the one step forward, eight step back kind of growth. We get a step forward, but it seems like we fall back eight steps because it's just once in a while. It's time to time. But here's the third one is what I think we all ought to be seeking after. And I think that's what Paul is talking about. And it's what I want to talk to you about this morning, and that is a lifetime experience of growth. That's the kind of growth that we talk about if we're talking about agricultural things where you apply the miracle grow and you take care of it and you care for it and it grows and it produces these huge crops of whatever it is that you're trying to grow. I really see that one, and I want you to understand because a lot of times preachers will get up in front of you and they'll talk about, you know, you need to have this steady growth, you know, just going for it all the time. See, I understand. A lot of times our lifetime of growth will turn out being three steps forward, one step back, won't it? We grow, we make progress, but we still hit those valleys. We hit those things that we run into, and we're like, Lord, I feel like I've I'm back to when I first invited you in my life. That's okay. I really want you to understand and get a clear picture of this growth that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a growth like a rocket. Y'all know what I mean? You know, the rocket, they get it set and they get it looking straight up and they light it off, however they do it, and it shoots up in the air. It goes one direction. A lot of people think that's the way spiritual growth is supposed to be. That it's just always a constant, every day I'm getting higher and higher and higher. And then when you look at your life and you say, that's not what I'm experiencing, you think you're not where you're doing what you're supposed to do. I believe if we had the time, and if there's questions, I'm going to go in through it another time, but I believe God's Word shows us that spiritual growth that God talks about is more like climbing a mountain. You climb, you make progress, but then you have to kind of drop back down a little bit. You go down in a valley to get over to that next ridge to get up higher and higher. It's not a rocket that just shoots up into the air. It's, I think, more like climbing a mountain. And that's the kind of growth that I want to talk to you about this morning. I think there's some ingredients. I think there's three ingredients to this kind of growth. This three steps forward, one step back, but always making progress, always moving, always getting closer, always growing. Like climb a mountain. You get to have some mountaintop experiences. But there's also some valleys there, aren't there? Is that what everybody, y'all are kind of looking down? Look at me just a second. Am I the only one that after you mountaintop, you find yourself in a valley? Are you like that? In your life, is it just a rocket? Or is it up and down, up and down? But gradually we're getting higher peaks, aren't we? That's what I think the kind of growth that God wants. I'm just making sure everybody was kind of looking down. You're probably ready to start writing, and that's fine. Three ingredients. Let me give you the first one. The first one is commitment. Commitment. Without commitment, brothers and sisters, there is no growth. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're raising tomatoes, if you're raising squash, if you're raising winter wheat for horses, hay grazer, my neighbor down the road, cutting alfalfa this week. Probably some best alfalfa around, I think. Can you imagine if he just said, well, I just see how that stuff goes. And we wouldn't call it the best alfalfa around, would we? It had weeds in it and everything else. I don't care what you're growing. Culturally, spiritually, whatever the case is, it involves a commitment, doesn't it? The good news is, God is just as committed to your spiritual growth. Let me rephrase that. He is more committed to your spiritual growth than what you are. I think about this. I think about an Olympic athlete. Short distance runner, long distance runner, whatever you want to use. You know, God has given them some abilities, and he's given them a body that it was made for doing that. But even with that, can you imagine how successful, it would be absurd to think of an Olympic athlete to not have a commitment to train during the years, and when it's time for the Olympics, just kind of go in there and think, yeah, you know what, I think I'll give that sprint a try. Oh, I might win a gold medal. Didn't happen that way, does it? It doesn't happen that way for football either, does it? It takes work, it takes a commitment. Everything you want to talk about requires a commitment. So does our spiritual growth. The good news is God has given us everything we need for it. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's given us his people, church people, Christians. He's given us the church. He's given us his word. He's given us everything we need to be able to grow. But we have to choose to make the commitment, don't we? Second Chronicles I have listed for you. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are what? So committed? Fully committed, isn't it? That's what God's looking for. Titus chapter 2. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin to cleanse us and to make us his very own people. Totally committed. Doing what's right. That verse tells us God has given us the power through Jesus to grow. requires commitment. Deuteronomy talks about being our choice. 1 Corinthians, Paul, even, I love the paraphrase of this. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depends on it. Now, when I read something like that, I thought, why does my life depend on it? Well, the more you dig into it, the more you realize it's because that's what we were created for. We were created to have a relationship with God and to have a relationship with one another. So our life does depend on it, doesn't it? That we have to have a commitment. So the first ingredient of this miracle growth for spiritual life growth is commitment. Here's number two. Number two is we must have balance. We must have balance. If we're going to enjoy a lifetime of growth, it takes balance. I can be totally committed, but if I don't have balance in my life, it's not going to work, is it? You've seen people like that. You know people like that. I know people like that, that they get excited. They get committed. They say, oh, man, God's touched my life. But they don't have a balance in their life about it. And so pretty soon they get to be just like what happens if you get a tire on your vehicle that gets out of balance. At first, you may not quite recognize it. It just doesn't last as long. It kind of starts wearing out the tire. It starts cutting, or it starts getting a weird kind of tread. But if you don't do anything, if you don't get them balanced, what happens? What's the next thing that you, when you really start noticing it? It starts wobbling around and shaking and shimmying, doesn't it? The same thing happens to you and I, brothers and sisters. You can be committed to it, but if there's not a balance in your life, it's going to get to be a rough road, a rough ride for you and everybody else that's riding with you. Amen? So what do I mean by this balance? What is it that I need balance? Well, I need balance two things, really. And there's probably more, two that I've listed here. I need to balance learning God's truth. I need a balance in learning God's truth. What does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that it contains God's truth for our lives. It also contains the truth about us, ourselves, this world, life, the future, everything. God's word is the truth, isn't it? We've got to get into God's word. We've got to spend time in God's word. Think about how to say this. How crazy would it be if knowing that there is a bag of Miracle-Gro in my mom and dad's shop, how crazy would it be for me to say, you know what, I'm just going to be committed. I'm going to trust that that Miracle-Gro is going to help whatever it is that I decided to plant out there in the fields. But I never took that Miracle-Gro out of the shop. It's just in the shop. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? We know that we've got to take that material and we've got to spread out, but we've got to get it into the ground. And you may say, well, man, Mark, you got some pretty silly illustrations this morning. Really? How many people that you talk to and you ask them about God's word, how important is God's word to them? And they'll say, oh, it's real important to me. Really? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I've got 3 or 4 Bibles. They sit on that shelf at my house, and they're a place of honor, and boy, I've got them set up. You come to my house and set on a coffee table, it's open up. You can't help but to see my favorite verse. And you say, well, you know, what does God's word say about so-and-so or so-and-so, and they're lost? Why? Because somehow they thought, because I have the Bible in my house, that's going to cause the growth. It's about as silly, isn't it? It's me saying, because I have a bag of Miracle-Gro out in the shop, that I should expect all the winter wheat that we're fixing to put down. I should just expect it to grow like crazy because we've got Miracle-Gro on the property. Y'all see what I'm getting at? We can't just say that we know where it's at. We've got to get it in our lives, don't we? We've got to get it to the roots. our spiritual room. It just doesn't work. You know, I know a lot of people get frustrated. I talk to them. They come and talk to me, and I get email, I get text messages and emails. And I'll tell you all, it's not just church members. I get them from plumbers and everybody else that have a question about something about Scripture, and they'll say, "Hey, Mr. Wynn, you know, it looks kind of funny coming from some chick guy that had in my class, but I've gotten used to it." You know, they say, I was reading this passage, and I don't understand it. It happens a lot, doesn't it? A lot of times, we were looking at passages this morning. If you're in our adult Sunday school class, there was some, it can be kind of confusing at times. I think it's one of the problems is that we do not get God's Word into us in enough of a varied way. What I'm trying to say is what we accuse and what we were very critical 20 years ago about our school system. You know, 20, 30 years ago, you went to a classroom and the teacher stood up and lectured for however long the class was. And, you know, I know that was said in high school, but I guarantee you that's the way it was in college. They would have a class of 300 or 400 students and one teacher. And for 1 hour, the teacher would walk in, plop down his notebook, and boy, you better have your note-taking hand ready, hadn't you? Well, we learned. We criticized, so we figured out that's not how everybody learns. We've got to have some diversity. We've got to have some vocational programs where you can take an object and you can take it apart and you can look at it and you can see how it works and put it back together. But you know what? There's a lot of believers, the only way they get God's Word in their life is by the one means, and that is hearing what somebody else is saying. Let me just share with you very quickly, Deuteronomy 6:6. "You must commit yourself to wholeheartedly to the commandments that I am giving today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on a journey, when you're lying down, when you're getting up." What are they talking about here? He's talking about varying ways and degrees and times that you get God's Word in your life. You've got to get God's Word into your life if you're going to grow. And so you may have to vary the different ways that you do it. Very quickly, one of the ways that we get God's Word in our life is the way we hear it. The ear gate. I would say, what, 80, 90%? That's how we get God's Word, is whatever they hear a preacher saying or hear a teacher saying. Another way we get it is by reading, don't we? Another way we get it is through discussion. See, some people don't get it until they've been able to talk it over and talk it with other people. We also get it in our life by through memorization, through memorizing. And as soon as I say that word, I see some of you going, "You know, I can't memorize anything." Really? What's your address? What's your phone number? I would ask our youth, what's the combination to your lockers, but they took those all out, didn't they? You don't have combinations. I guarantee you they know what the code is to unlock their cell phones, don't they? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you all, we learn and we memorize what's important to us to memorize. We hear it, we read it, we discuss it, we memorize it. Let me tell you something, the best way is the way I learned in school. The way I taught and the way I teach is I'm a hands-on learner. You can tell me all the formulas you want about math, and my brain just kind of starts slowing down until it finally just goes, "Okay, wake me up when it's something important." But you relate that to building a trust, building a wall, figuring how much cement we need to put in a building. My brain fires back up and goes, "Okay, we're ready to go, I understand." I'm a very hands-on, sensitive learner. And I would dare say, from statistics that I've seen, a good 85% of us are the same way. How do you kinesthetically learn God's Word? You do it by doing it. You do what it says. You practice it. We hear it, read it, discuss it, memorize it, and then we do it. Yeah, we need to do it. We need to have a balance, commitment to balance, to learning God's Word. I already given you, I just now gave you the second part of that. I jumped ahead, sorry. The second part is we need a balance in living God's purpose. We've got to take that one. We've got to do God's Word. Do what it tells us to do. So he wants us to have balance. He wants us to have commitment. Have a balance. And here's the third one. The third ingredient is relationships. We were created to have relationships. It's the way God made us. Relationships are, well, somebody asked Jesus. Jesus, what is the most important of the commandments? And what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He could have just said, relationships. Your relationship to God and your relationship to one another. You see, I think God wants us all to do great things. God has great things in store for us. But nowhere in God's Scripture does God command us to have 3,000 friends on Facebook. Amen? Are there all these other things that we think are so important? But what does he demand? That I love God with all of my heart and mind and soul and strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. Ephesians talks about that all the parts fit together, helps us to grow. Hebrews says that we spur one another on. I had a great illustration here. We're about to run out of time. I had a great illustration here. You want to know how effective spurs are? Spurs them on? Let's watch a horse. 14, 15, 16 pound horse. You can put Ava on my gray horse and put spurs on her, and he'll go and do exactly what she tells him to do. Now, I'm not suggesting that we ought to put spurs on for one another, but it's the same idea. It encourages us. It moves us, is what he's trying to say. I want you to understand there are some growth steps that you and I will never take by ourselves. There are changes in your life and my life that we will never make unless someone else spurs us to make them. There are encouragements in your life and my life that we need that we'll never get if we're alone, if we're not with other people. There are truths in God's Word that you will never uncover without somebody else. And there are great things that God wants to do in each of our lives that will never happen if we're trying to do them by ourselves. That's why in that last part that you have there, I'm not going to go through all those. I just listed them for you. The one another's. That last one, that we ought to love one another. That's a big one, isn't it? Now my favorite one is Ephesians 4:2. We need to put up with one another. I like that one. I talk a lot of times about extra grace required people. That's my extra grace required people verse. The verse specifically says you need to put up with some people. Anyway, I just gave you those so you would have them. I want you to understand this morning. Jesus is praying for us all. Jesus has provided everything that we need. As a matter of fact, he says, and I said the ingredients for spiritual growth is commitment, be committed, be balanced, and have a relationship with Jesus. Can I just tell you at the very bottom, spiritual miracle growth. I didn't list it for you. I'm going to let you write it. I was getting your paper back out now. You want to know what the spiritual miracle growth is? His name is Jesus. He is the key ingredient. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you don't know him, if you've never met him, you need to come meet me here in the front in just a moment. I'm going to explain to you very carefully how you get a miracle growth for your life into your life. But I want you to understand, it's not a pill, it's not a cassette, it's not a book, it's not a song, it's a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. died for you and he died for me. And all he asks is that we recognize him as who he is. Brother Jay comes, and gets ready, and the musicians come. I want you just to bow your head for just a moment. They're going to start playing for me, if you don't mind. And I just want you to understand that this time is your time. This time that we do an invitation is a time that you can respond. You can get answers to questions. My praise to you is the time to leave here. Don't leave here and say, well, I know where the miracle grows at. Don't hear about it. You will never see a lifetime of growth. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask you, speak to us. You got us to help us. Be sure to praise the Lord now. It's in your name. Amen. Brother Jay, number 433.